Hello and welcome to Think Rant. I'm John Stabler.
And I'm Steve Bratt.
And I don't know if any of you noticed, but we've had a week's break.
That's because we all went to see the Pope.
Yeah. We thought we'd focus on the Pope's visit, so we could take it all in. So it had its full effect on us. And not just that, but we've just been a bit busy, haven't we, really, to be
Little
honest.
bit, yeah.
It just usually we have to have the moon, the sun, and some other things in alignment in order for us to actually pull the podcast off lately. I don't know whether that's because we kind of just because we're doing it as a kind of matter of factly, we just try and squeeze it in, whereas maybe in the first few weeks we're like, gotta do the podcast, gotta do it on Wednesday. That's when we do the podcast.
Yeah.
We've had a week off, but I think it's going to be better for it. And apologies to anybody that's upset.
Well, we've been building up the rage.
We have been building up the rage. So, I don't know. I mean, do you want to.
No, you kick us off. I mean, I have posted a couple of stories this week on our Twitter feed,
Okay,
Think
well,
Rant,
when it's
and
your turn, you
we'll
can.
come back to those.
Yeah.
But yeah, you kick us off.
Well,
Let's go for it.
I also, I don't know if anyone's noticed, I know you wouldn't have because you never listen to the podcast, but I've taken the signature theme tune off it, off the last one. And what I was going to do tonight is I was going to put a poll up to see if people want this, if they like the theme tune to keep it, whether it's just in the way and they just rather get to the goodness, or whether I should look for another theme tune and then I'll be asking people, does anybody know anyone who can. Because I just want like a little guitar riff or something.
Yeah.
Just someone who can strum a guitar or something, make it sound cool. But that's, much as I liked the theme tune, it was a bit long. And, so.
Okay.
Yeah. So I just want to throw that out there. I'll put the poll up after we've done this. Right. So, should we hit. Do we need to hit the Pope straight away?
Well, have you got something you want to, gently warm us up with, or do you want to get straight into the action?
The thing is, I just got so much stuff that it's all action for me, to be fair.
Well, let's just get straight into it. Let's get into it. Let's do the Pope, as it
Okay,
were.
let's do the Pope. Steve, so the Pope came over.
Apparently so, yeah.
Now, you're not in his cult, are you?
No, I am not a Catholic.
Right, so
And before we start, I just want to point out that actually, I have nothing against Catholicism, particularly as a whole. When I say against Catholicism, I mean your everyday Catholics going about their everyday life. I do have an issue with the hierarchy of the Catholic Church, particularly the Pope.
that's great because you just said something that I wanted to say. I have, I've got nothing against Catholics, and I don't like the fact that anybody who's critical of the Catholic Church is pointed out as being anti-Catholic or, they hate all Catholics when that's not the case. It's obviously just, the issue with whatever, say, the Pope's position is on contraceptives
Yep.
or, covering up child abuse, things like that. So.
Child abuse? What child abuse?
Exactly. So when people try and make out, they're just trying to sidestep it, they're not taking the criticism head on. They're just trying to paint the people with the criticism as, baddies.
Yep.
So was that, do you think there's anything positive that the Pope had to say?
I'm sure there might have been. I didn't actually listen to all of his speeches, talks, what have you. I understand that his talk in the Palace of Westminster was supposed to be quite good, but I haven't actually listened to that at all, so I can't really comment on that. I suppose the biggest thing for me, and it's not a good thing which he said, but it was one of the more ridiculous things that he said, was likening atheists to Nazis, which I'm sure you'd have picked up on, being a Nazi, I mean atheist yourself.
Yeah.
So,
So, yeah, well, I tell you what, as soon as I heard that, I just stopped dead in my goose stepping. There I was, happily goose stepping away, and then I was like, what? You're joking. And this is just a follow on from the Pope's aide, one of his Pope's aides.
Yes, which again, I mean, that actually set the tone, didn't it, for the whole tour.
Yeah, I mean, they may as well have brought him.
Yeah, it wouldn't have done any more damage, would it?
Yeah, so he, as Cardinal Walter Kasper reportedly said to a German magazine, maybe he thought no one in the UK could speak German or something. That we wouldn't find out that he, that we're a bunch of filthy scum, and it's
Third
you,
world country that we
and.
are.
Yeah, you land somewhere in a third world country. So, there was a bit of a dig, I think, at the perceived morality of this Western civilization. But also there seemed to be a bit of racism in there as well. He just thought, I'll
Just a
just chuck this
tad, just a
racism in.
tad. Let's get it in there.
Yeah, so I mean that was I didn't want to talk about that because what he said was everyone knows what he says because it's been on the news. But that was such a great start, and then they did their usual, damage limitation. Right, we'll just leave him.
Yeah, he can stay at home and we'll pretend he doesn't exist.
Yeah, he probably got quite a sweet deal out of it, to be honest, because I tell you what.
Well, he's at the Vatican to himself, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he obviously doesn't like flying. Well, he doesn't like landing in Britain anyway,
No.
because apparently the airports are terrible. So that was the preamble, and then the Pope decided to make some sweeping statements, and it was an attack on atheism, I wouldn't say. I think it was an attack on
It was an
secularism.
attack on secularism, yeah, and I suppose atheists have been lumped into that, haven't they?
Yeah.
It's just bizarre. I mean, it is absolutely crazy. And Richard Dawkins in his rant following, it's
Which I haven't
another.
read. Did you read this?
I've read it and I've listened to it. I've seen it on YouTube and I've actually read it. If you read it, it's not quite. It doesn't sound quite as ranty as it did when he delivered it,
Yeah.
because he's ranting when he delivers it. And it's a shame that he's ranting and he's using it as rhetoric, as opposed to making a logical, reasoned response to the Pope's comments, which he's more than capable of doing. And it's kind of a shame because he's almost undermined himself a little bit, because a lot of what he actually said, I had to agree with.
So hang on, so what part was the factual bit, which I'm assuming you agree with the factual bit?
It's not that he said anything that was unfactual, it was the way he said things. So, for instance, I mean, there's an article in The Guardian today where Dawkins is trying to say that actually he didn't liken the Catholic Church to Nazis. Actually, he did, because of the way he was ranting about it, yeah? Maybe that wasn't his intent, but that's how it came out when he spoke about it. And it's little things like that. It was about his delivery more so than the content of it. Because basically, what he was saying was, in his response, was, well, he was disgusted that the Pope could say something like atheists or secularists were all Nazis, when actually Hitler himself was a Nazi. And the argument and logic he tried to use was that the Catholic Church claims there are 6 million Catholics in Britain. Dawkins' argument is, well, there may be 6 million baptized Catholics in Britain, but that doesn't necessarily mean there's 6 million people going to church every week in Britain. And if the Catholic Church wants to claim those 6 million people as Catholics, that's fine, but then they also have to claim Hitler as a Catholic, because Hitler was a baptized member of the Catholic Church. Which, is a fairly sort of logical point.
Yeah, I mean, if the Pope wants to claim all of them as his own, you can't have your cake and eat it,
Well, quite right, yeah. Well, you can have your cake and eat it, but
can you? Well, no, you can't eat it and have it, sorry.
So no, and you're quite right, and that's what you're saying. And, he's got a point, but the way he went on and continued on with his conversation, it pretty much came out that he was saying, he was basically doing the opposite of what the Pope had done. Instead of saying that, secularists are Nazis, he was saying that Catholics were Nazis. That apparently wasn't his intention, and okay, I'll give him that. That's fine. It was an emotive speech at the moment, or in the moment.
Well,
But
I
some of the
want
other stuff he said then was along the lines of, the Pope's got an appalling record, with regards to contraception, with regards to the child abuse, with regards to the Church's position on homosexuality, and with regards to the Catholic Church's position on women priests. And he attacked the Pope on each of those points as well, which, I personally think is actually kind of fair enough, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah, he attacked the idea rather than, the actual what problem rather than the person. There was there was a lot of secularists or atheists that were actually attacking the Pope. What I considered personally, in so much that they kept on mentioning that he was part of the Hitler Youth,
Oh yeah, no. I mean,
and
Dawkins didn't shy away from attacking him personally. Don't get me wrong. He was, he did have personal attacks on the Pope.
what did he say?
I'm trying to, actually, as I'm speaking to you, I'm
Oh,
trying to
right,
find the
okay.
transcript of
All
what
right,
he
well,
said.
the one thing I wanted to say was this whole thing about the Pope was in the Hitler Youth or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's very unfair because none of the youth had an option. It
Well,
was
no, you were
pretty
all in the
much
Hitler
all
Youth.
conscription based practically.
Yes, it
I mean, I'm
was.
sure they tried to make out you had a choice, but at that time, everybody, most of the people around at the time said, no, you didn't really have a choice.
And it was the same that people had to join the Nazi Party as well. I read a book recently, which highlights that very well, which is called The Book Thief. And it's about a family living in Nazi Germany during the war in Munich. And if you wanted to work, you had to be a member of the party. And likewise, then your kids would have to be a member of the Hitler Youth and things like that, because you had to be seen to be a committed party member. So in all fairness to the Pope,
So I
maybe he
wasn't
was
gonna
kind of
level
press
that.
ganged
Yeah.
into it,
So I wouldn't use that as a criticism of him. I think that is the rhetoric that you refer, things like that is
Yeah,
what you're referring
absolutely.
to. But, as far as his positions on what you've listed, I think he's guilty as charged
Exactly,
and
and that's my point, you see, about Dawkins's rant, is that he could have given, and I think should have given, a more reasoned, logical argument
Well, as I
than
said,
what he, I mean, I know you haven't listened to it, and you have a
no.
listen to it, and see what you think.
Because to be fair to him, I find that everybody always moans about his tone, but everything he says is usually factual. So I'm thinking, you just don't like you call you say you don't like his tone because what he's saying upsets you. But if you're saying he's used some rhetoric, then yeah, I will listen to that. I know he can get. Well, I don't think he even gets that emotional normally. He's just quite passionate about, obviously what he believes. So,
I mean, but basically, he was speaking to a mob, basically, So, I think he was using the tools available to him to sort of fire that mob up, really, to be honest with you.
And the thing is, I'm never.
I mean, I guess that's my point, really. And it was more of a speech at a political rally than a comment on the Pope's record with contraception, with homosexuality. It was point scoring, basically. Do you know what I mean? It was like watching a politician spar in Parliament or in the run up to an election. He was grandstanding, basically.
Yeah, I understand that. And sometimes, I'm all for, the logical argument, putting that forward because ultimately, that's the source of truth. But I don't think it's very fair necessarily to criticize someone for using rhetoric when the other side's using it. And why would you
Absolutely.
not use that
No,
tool?
I agree with you there, and I guess, and this is, I feel the same way about British politics in some respect as well, is I get very disappointed by the schoolyard tactics. Just because one person's using rhetoric, just because one person is saying one thing in a certain way, I kind of think, sometimes you need to rise up above it.
Yeah, I know what you mean, and you look at the point scoring
And
and
because,
it.
I think Dawkins actually had an opportunity there. Because, I'm not a fan of Dawkins, and I'll hold my hand up and I'll say it. But he had an opportunity there to give a reasoned, logical answer to the Pope.
Which I think
And
he's been doing anyway, to
to
be
the.
fair.
Well, maybe to some extent. But it would have. I mean, maybe he just doesn't care. But I think it would have done his. Credibility is the wrong word, because he's obviously a very credible person because of his knowledge and expertise, but it might have made him a little bit more popular then, shall we say, had he actually given a reasoned
Well,
response.
I don't think he's ever going to win over, the
It's
opposition
not necessarily
or
about winning
what
over the
he.
opposition, but that speech was actually pointed out to me by a friend who's an atheist, who actually was embarrassed by Dawkins's approach.
Yeah, I've bumped into quite a few of these so-called what we call faith-theists,
Excuse me.
which are people that, it's almost like a condescending position where they don't believe, but they think that some people should believe because they can't function correctly if they didn't
Yeah, no, it's
believe.
not what this guy
And I
was
think that's a
saying.
condescend. No,
No, no.
but and also they come up with things like, well, what Dawkins said is embarrassing. Now, as I said, I need to listen to that one particular thing. But all previous works of his, okay, from the God Delusion, a lot of the debates he's had, where he's taken part in, he's a very patient person who uses logic and reason. Maybe a bit of rhetoric, but he has to because he's in a debate, for instance. And for people to say, oh, he shouldn't be doing that because he might upset people, I think it's like painting him as a fundamentalist, which I think is highly ridiculous because I don't see him, stoning people. I don't see him killing abortion doctors.
Yeah,
And
but
so
neither
it
do all
seems like the.
fundamentalists do that either,
Well,
as in
no, I know,
religious
but
fundamentalists.
what I'm saying is,
But
okay, it seems that the level
yeah, see,
required to be a
I would dispute there
fundamentalist.
because I do think he is, and as I've said to you before, I think he is a fundamentalist.
Do you, what were what definition of fundamentalist
Well,
do you
no,
work
I
into?
just think he is absolutely. It is his view or no view, and that's the way he is. He is fundamentalist about his views.
Well, hang on, no, because are
But
you
you
changing
see,
the definition of fundamentalist
no, I'm
then?
giving what I see as him.
No,
With him.
but you
But
just
this isn't.
said.
We're not going to get tied up in a debate about Dawkins because that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the Pope
No,
and
sure.
his visits. Let's not go down that road, because I don't think that's productive to what we're talking about now when we're talking about the Pope.
Okay.
Yeah, and as I said, I agree with what the spirit of what Dawkins was saying, if I didn't necessarily agree with what he was saying. So I mean, let's get back onto the Pope.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, the Pope seems to want to paint everybody who's evil that doesn't agree with his dogma.
Which is fundamentalist, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, I just want to clear up the definition of fundamentalist was somebody who was dogmatic and who would not change their mind.
Yeah, and that's I think is the same as Dawkins. I think Dawkins is in that point.
So you're saying Dawkins would never change his mind?
No, I wouldn't say he wouldn't necessarily change his mind, 'cause I'm sure if proof was presented to him, he would. But I think with the current proof of what he's got, he is absolutely that it's my way or the highway.
I don't, well,
So I don't know what you'd call that if not a fundamentalist.
if a fundamentalist is someone who would never change their mind, but he would change his mind, I can't see how he fits the
But then I've
definition.
known Christian fundamentalists who've changed their mind because actually they've changed their belief. Because actually they've woken up one morning and they haven't believed anymore.
Right, so that means that they
So
weren't.
that but they would be classed as Christian fundamentalists.
Well, they were fundamentalists up until the point when they changed their
Yeah,
minds, really.
exactly. That's what I'm saying about Dawkins. That's exactly what I'm saying about Dawkins. Dawkins is a fundamentalist up until the point he changes his mind, which he could possibly and feasibly do.
Okay, I just worry that just polluting a word that actually has a specific meaning, that's that, that's the only thing that annoys me is people when people, there was a cartoon and it had like Islamic fundamentalists and there was a guy there and he had a rocket launcher strapped to his back and a woman in a burqa and then next to it said a Christian fundamentalist and there was a dead abortion doctor and then it had atheist fundamentalist. There was a guy in a pub having a smoke, and that is what I'm talking about. It's just it is ridiculous and it's just people when there's criticism leveled at them they're going and you too, nah. And I think that is childish. So anyway, the Pope is a git.
The
Well,
Pope is a
he's.
git, and I'll stand by that, and I'll actually agree with Dawkins on that point. I think, for me, well, I mean, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. For me, as a Christian, we've got two commandments which were given to us, which is love God and love your neighbour. I don't possibly see how the Pope could be loving his neighbour by refusing to say that actually it's okay to use condoms for people in Africa or wherever else in the world. I don't see how that is showing love to the people, because he knows there's a high percentage of a chance they're going to catch AIDS. He knows there's a high percentage of a chance that, there are going to be kids who will be born who will have AIDS. And for him to come out and say that using condoms causes the spread of AIDS, as he has done in the past, is ridiculous.
Yeah, it just goes from being kind of a fly, something that's stopping progress to something that's actually going the other way. It's actually willful ignorance.
Absolutely. I mean, do you know what I mean? I could. I wouldn't agree with him, but I could kind of understand it a bit more if he just came out and said, "I don't believe that we should use condoms because the Bible says so," or something like that. Yeah. Than saying, coming up with some kind of pseudoscience to say that using condoms causes the spread of AIDS. How ridiculous is that? I mean, the man just made himself look an idiot.
Yeah, and it's lying, and it's lying. It's ba he's basically l
It's
he's
terrible lies.
lying,
He's
yeah, because he believes his cause is so great that he is entitled to lie,
It's disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful.
and a lot of people have defended it, saying, well, it's written in the Bible, it's God's word, he can't change it, he's just voicing it. And I'm thinking that that itself is bollocks as well, because the Catholic Church have undone previous dogma.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. I mean, from my point of view, as I've said before, and I know you don't agree with this because of your position, which is absolutely fine. But as I've said before, with the Bible, you need to look at it and look at it critically, but as a Christian, look at it prayerfully. And always have at the heart considering those points about, is it loving God? Is it loving your neighbour? And if it's not one of those things, then for me, I can't see how it can possibly be of God. So, stoning homosexuals, shunning women because at a certain time of month. I mean, it's just
I mean, I
there's
think they're
no
good
human.
all times of the month,
Yeah,
to be honest.
there's no humanity in that at all.
No.
And I just think that that's not something which I want to have a part of, to be
Well, I
honest
mean, you'd
with
probably make a good humanist.
you. it's just I think it's ridiculous. And then to go from willfully spreading AIDS, then, for want of a better way, he then covers up child abuse.
Yeah, because we haven't, we have, of all the, after all the news stories, we've never actually covered this in any of the podcasts.
No, and how does he get away with it? I mean, he himself, when he was a cardinal or whatever the position is
He was in
in the
charge of dogma,
church,
wasn't he? He was in charge
he's in charge
of.
of it. But when he's in charge in a diocese, he covered up child abuse. Personally, he's done it.
The evidence is
And
there.
that's not me saying he's a child abuser or anything like that. I'm not good on that route. But frankly, he's as good as. Because he has allowed priests who are abusing children to remain free in society with access to children. He's left them free to go off and do the same thing again. And he has never apologized for it.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is, there's a lot of other people saying, "Oh, well, all this is just anti-Catholic rhetoric because, there's paedophiles in the mass population. It's not just priests." I'm not saying you are you not miss you completely missing what people are saying here. It's not the fact, okay, that there are paedophiles, because yes, we accept there's paedophiles everywhere. The fact is, though,
As
that the
brash I would
church.
have believed, there's paedophiles across the street right now.
dressed as a school,
Yeah.
but. It's the fact that they covered it up, and
Which is horrendous.
they believed that their cause was worth more than, the health of children. And they shuffled these priests from parish to parish so they could do it again.
Well, they shuffle the priests from parish to parish. They destroyed these kids' lives because they didn't support them, they didn't give them any help. They just basically abandoned those kids and supported the priests. For me, that's absolutely horrific. I mean, I cannot think of any word which can describe them, to be honest with you, because I just, it just goes beyond my comprehension, to be honest.
And I just, anybody who would, you know, try and, you know, try and deflect criticism from the church, this, they're just apologising for criminality at the end of the day.
I totally agree.
So
yeah, that for me is reasons why the Pope is not great.
The Pope is not great. I wanted to move on, because to be honest, apart from the fact that his dig at secularism, which, you know, is just ridiculous, because he looks like, what's his name, Senator Palpatine, you know? He's losing control, you know, and he wants to keep the power, but, you know, and, you know, secularism is obviously...
It goes back to what I was saying, what I was accusing Dawkins of. It's schoolyard politics, do you know what I mean? It's basically, he has thrown that out there as a deliberate dig and a deliberate attack, and it's just pathetic.
Yeah. And to be fair, I don't think his comments went down well in America, even with some of the more religious people, simply because he was making an attack on what made America great. So there was actually a lot of people who were members of the Catholic League or whatever they're called in the States,
right,
who were very unhappy with what he said.
I didn't see any American response to it.
No, I mean, well, it's only because I follow quite a few, you know, like American blogs and things like that, that I managed to see some of the response to it. So, you know, apart from that attack, you know, he didn't do anything. He kissed a few babies, which looked good for TV. He made some speeches, which, you know, had some Catholics crying. You know, I'm sure it was quite moving, if that's your bag. But overall, I thought it went
on for too long.
It did.
Is what it did.
There was complaints about too much TV coverage as
well.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Which, you know, I don't watch a lot of telly, you know, apart from the news anyway.
But, well, it wasn't just TV coverage, it was full-on media coverage. I mean, you know, it was a complete papal blanket thrown over everything.
Yeah, I mean, they even had cutouts in magazines, you know, assemble your own Pope mobile and stuff like that.
That was ridiculous.
Oh, that's good fun. I'm going to stay kind of on a Catholic thing.
Righty-ho.
Ice cream ad featuring pregnant nun is banned.
Yeah, I did see that.
So, Antonio Federici had an ad with a strapline, immaculately conceived. And
personally, I think it's quite good, to be honest.
I thought it was brilliant. But it was, you know, banned because it's likely to offend Christians. I'm just wondering how many of these people... I can tell you how many people complained. 10. I mean, considering that there's been other ads which have had thousands of complaints, and so it's not. I don't think it's based on the number of people who complain. Surely it's on if it breaks some kind of guideline. But it sounds like the ASA has actually, instead of saying, "Well, these are the guidelines; it's broken, therefore we're not going to allow it," they've just said,
it might offend the Pope, let's take it down.
It's going to offend Roman Catholics, and it was simply for that reason that they took it down. And I was like, going, well, if, you know, I just really wish that I could phone up the ASA any time an advert offended me, and they'd pull it.
The Daily Mail offends me.
Exactly.
Daily.
Yeah, just seeing it on the newspaper stand. So, and the, I mean, some of the ad slogans are funny. Ice cream is our religion. It's, I just love it. So I just thought I'd get that out there, because I had a picture. She's quite a hot nun as well.
Yeah, I agree.
If all nuns looked like that, then maybe the Catholic Church wouldn't have to worry about dwindling congregations.
Behave, Jonathan. Behave.
Sorry. Do you want to do a story then?
Yeah, we can do. I'm just going on to the Twitter feed just to pick one up a second.
I mean,
this one, it's actually still kind of sticking with the same, well, not the same sort of theme, but, well, it does tie in a little bit. This idiot, Irving, who is going to give a Hitler tour, or a tour in Poland, and he's a Holocaust denier. Oh, man. The guy's beyond contempt, to be honest with you.
I haven't heard this story, so...
Basically, you've heard the guy David Irving, haven't you?
Yeah.
He's a well-known Holocaust denier, right? Basically, he has gone to Poland to lead a tour of sites from the Nazi occupation.
Right.
Okay? So, basically, I mean, for example, he's taking people to go to the Wolf's Lair, where, as he describes it, German army traitors tried to assassinate Adolf Hitler in 1944. This guy has written books denying the Holocaust, and in fact, in Poland, there's a Polish group trying to sue him at the moment for the current book that he's released out there trying to deny it. Just the fact that this guy still gets a platform to preach his nonsense amazes me.
It's a testament to free speech, I'll say that much.
It is a testament to free speech, and fair enough, but this guy's, for me, this guy's dangerous. Do you know what I mean? He is propagating a lie,
Yeah.
and people are believing that lie. And, he gets away with propagating this lie because he comes across as being a reasonable English gentleman. Middle class, sort of.
But when you say, people are believing it, I mean, really? I mean, are there, or
Well,
is it
yeah,
just
there are.
preaching to the
No, come
choir?
on, look. You've got these idiots like these tossers in the BNP and such groups who hang on people like this's every word because he gives their beliefs some kind of respectability.
Right, exactly. So those people, they already believe it. He's just preaching to the choir,
Yeah, but I
isn't
wonder
he?
how many people actually would be swayed by his arguments.
You mean like rational people who aren't racist? I just can't see it. I
Well,
honestly can't see it. It's people that are looking for ways to legitimise their racism or their
yeah,
prejudices.
no,
They're
absolutely.
always willing to.
I mean, the thing is there's normal people out there, who maybe do have a bit of xenophobia, maybe a little bit of racism, and that for me is unjustified. But this sort of thing sort of tips them over the edge. Oh, I just don't like him. Maybe it's me
Well,
being irrational,
I
but
don't
I
know. I
don't
don't
like
like him.
him.
I think it's rational not to like prejudice, personally. But the thing is, I would never say that he can't write his books and that he couldn't say what he wants to say. The thing is, and this is like when people were talking about how different voting system in the UK will lead to, the far right, like the BNP getting seats in parliament and stuff. And I always said, well, if that's the case, then fine. That is something I'm willing to live with. And the more that people hear what they have to say, I think the more people will hear how ridiculous they are. Because it's one thing to say, oh, did you hear what Nick Griffin said the other week? He said this. And people go, oh, yeah. It's almost, they're just incredulous. They can't believe it.
Yeah.
But to actually hear it come out of his mouth because he's on telly, I mean, all right, some people might say there's no such thing as bad publicity, but
I don't know. Yeah,
I think
we
most
all saw him on
rational
news night,
people.
didn't we? And that
Yeah.
was bad publicity, let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly. So,
But another point, about David Irving, and this I think is I think this is really disrespectful, to be honest with you. Part of the tour is he's actually going to Treblinka, which was a death camp where more than 800,000 people, mostly Jews, were murdered. And this part of the tour has been advertised in the tour brochure as an optional tour of a, in inverted commas, real death camp. What's he gonna say? When he takes this tour of people through this camp where such atrocities were committed, what's he gonna do? Is he gonna walk through and say, actually, this is the place where 800,000 people weren't actually murdered?
Yeah, and to me, this is the kind of thing that, and this is where it's conspiracy theory. So what he's done is he believes that there is a conspiracy theory which is more likely than the fact that all these Jews were killed. Some of these Holocaust deniers think that, the victors of the war faked it all to make the Germans look
Yeah.
bad and things like that. And I'm like going, why
Excuse me.
would why would they go to such extraordinary lengths, to explain a pile of bodies, which, they exist, they're there, it's a
Yeah.
pile of bodies. You know, where did they come from otherwise? But no, they would sooner deny reality and embrace conspiracy theory.
Yeah, and the real life witnesses.
Yeah. You know, I mean, even
not even the Jewish survivors,
but the SS and
yeah.
people afterwards. There was a woman not long ago. She was plugging a book that she'd written. Her father was like head of one of these camps. You know, and at the end of the war, I think he took his own life in the end because he couldn't live with it. You know, so but it was, you know, I really wanted to read that book, and I really should dig it out and have a read. But, you know, there were people that were there. They were witnesses, the people that took part in it.
Yeah.
And afterwards, they realised their mistakes. Some of them faced charges. Some of them, you know, got away. But there was remorse, and there was, yeah, this happened. And to deny it, just simply because, you know, it goes against your existing beliefs or in some other area, you know, is irrational, we know that.
Yeah.
But it's also stupid. So yeah, that's pretty pretty shocking, to be honest. But I didn't pick up on that story this week. Is it my turn?
Yep.
Have you heard of Christine O'Donnell?
I've seen a name around, but I haven't actually seen why the name has been around.
Right. Okay. She's a politician in the U.S.
The good old U.S. of A.
Yeah. She's in a bit of bother at the moment because apparently she was caught mentioning that she's dabbled in witchcraft.
What, really?
Yeah, really. She's apparently...
Real serious witchcraft.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously this isn't going to do well for her because she's part of the Tea Party.
Explain the Tea Party because I don't know.
Right, yeah.
Is.
Well, and for anybody who doesn't know, what's happened is in the States you've got the Democrats and you've got the Republicans.
Yes.
Okay. Now, Democrats are like Obama.
Yeah.
And, you know, the
and the Republicans are lunatics.
And yeah, the Republicans are more... the Bushites. You know,
yeah.
They think Bush was
lunatics,
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, I don't want to associate them with any particular ideology, but they are right. They're right-wing. They're conservative. Very, very conservative. So, obviously, you know, her... It coming out that she's dabbled in witchcraft is a bit of a no-no.
So is the Tea Party part of...
Well, they're actually a splinter group
who,
after the Republicans, you know, lost the last election, the Tea Party came around because they didn't believe the Republicans were hardline enough.
Okay. So they call themselves the Tea Party as in, like, the Boston Tea Party.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, because they think, you know, tipping tea in the
docks
is going to help or something.
Just make a big cup of tea.
But, I mean, these guys, they really, really want to... I think. Well, first of all, I think they want to start a United States theocracy to start with.
Right, okay.
You know, that's just like... That's their first page of the manifesto.
Yeah.
They're into guns.
Which far-right group isn't in America?
So, you know, so obviously, you know, there's a lot of, you know, evangelical Christians in there. Obviously, witchcraft is a bit of a no-no.
Yes, yeah.
You know, because apparently you're not really meant to dabble in it. But so now it's come out, she's dabbled in it. They're wondering, you know, are they going to...
When did she dabble in it, John? Was it before or after she became a Christian?
I think, I don't know. I thought when you're baptised, that's it, isn't it?
But did she... But this is my point. If she's a born-again Christian, an evangelical Christian, it's likely she wasn't baptised until she was an adult. So did she dabble when she was a child? Or did she dabble after her baptism?
That's a good question. I think it says when she was a teenager. So
maybe she dabbled before she was baptised.
Could be. But surely...
In which case, for all those Bible-loving Christians out there, it really shouldn't be an issue for them. Because, actually, she did it before she was saved. So therefore, she's now repented of that sin. And
but she can just ask for forgiveness anyway.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, she doesn't actually have to ask for forgiveness because she's already repented of that sin. You know,
before she did it?
No. If it happened before she was baptized,
okay. Yeah.
When she's been baptized, she's made that choice, yeah, for God. That's a choice she's made. Hmm. So when she's baptized, the whole point of baptism is, you know, the washing away of sins.
Yeah.
Then she's atoned for that sin, and she's, you know...
She's clean again.
Yeah.
But I thought the big thing about...
It shouldn't be an issue for them if it happened before she's baptised. If it's after she's baptised, well, yeah, that would be an issue for them.
Well,
I'm not saying I agree with that, but I can see why it would be an issue for them.
Yeah, but she can just ask for forgiveness, and then it's all cool.
What, the really tolerant right-wing nutters are going to forgive her?
Well, no. the idea was you pray to God and he forgives you.
God already would have forgiven her. Rather. But it's not God who's wanting to kick her out of her own party, is it?
Well, yeah. So, but I just wanted more details, but unfortunately there weren't any. I was like wondering, what was it? Did she have a Ouija board?
Did she buy a spell off eBay?
Maybe she wanted a nice ass.
Exactly. You know, if she's becoming into the public eye a lot more now, you know, she's going to want to look her best.
Yeah, so she thought, I need a great ass if I'm going to be on telly. So, oh,
eBay, this? There we go.
What's this? So, yeah, that's a revelation for her. One of my first dates with a witch was on a satanic altar, and I didn't know it. I mean, there was a little blood there and stuff like that. We went to a movie and then had a little midnight picnic on a satanic altar. What's the difference between a satanic altar and just like a regular one, apart from the blood?
I've
thrown you now, haven't I, with it?
Just because of the I mean, this is the thing, right? Okay, these type of stories where somebody's trying to justify a previous behaviour, it just gets into the realms of ridiculousness, you know? Like, Bill Clinton's, I smoked but I didn't inhale. You know, it's just crazy. Just come out and just say, yeah, look, I was a kid. I knocked around with some people who said they were Satanists. They were witches, whatever. I shagged one of them on an altar and there was blood there. Whatever, do you know what I mean? Just come out and say it, for goodness sake. You know, don't try and pretend you're all innocent of the fact and saying, well, you know, we sat on this big table-like thing and there was a bit of blood there. Just come out and say it, for God's sake.
I don't think they'd forgive her, though, unfortunately, for that one.
Well, no, they won't, because as we said before, and this, if you're ready to lead on, actually leads quite nicely on to my next story, and unless you want to
go
further
on
this, which is the story that this week, and again, it was posted on our Twitter feed, news of the US Senate blocking debate on repeal of gay military policy.
Oh, well, what is wrong with these people? You know, why can't they just let it go? Why don't they just get rid of the law? Let the, you know, if the gay people want to be in the military, just let them.
Well, the current US policy is...
Don't ask, don't tell.
Don't ask, don't tell. And, you know, that's just not right, really. You know, it's not everyone's right to know that somebody's gay. But if I was gay, it would be my right to be able to say that I'm gay and be able to live my life as an out gay person, if that's what I chose to do.
Yeah.
That's my right. And, you know, to try and sweep that under the carpet and say, well, you know you're gay, but don't tell anyone. Because, you know, you might put our frontline troops off.
Yeah, you know.
What a joke. Absolutely ridiculous, you know. There has been... I don't know any, because obviously... it's always been kept secret, but there's been gay men fighting, there's been gay men probably leading men all the way through history. Because you're gay isn't going to mean you can't fight any better than somewhere else. Or, you know, because you're gay, suddenly actually the man next to you in the trench is going to go, I can't fight so well, just in case he tries to bum me as we're going over the top.
Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Come on, guys. It's, you know,
but I think it just shows how simple-minded these people are.
Yeah.
They just got this simplistic view like that. And, yeah. So it's just more resistance to progress. Why do...
But again, this for me, John, this isn't progress. This is just basic humanity.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
but we're still trying to progress towards it.
You know, this is just basic human rights. Well, land of the free, isn't it? You know, it's
free as long as you're, you know, in the majority, I think, rather than in a minority. So, not the country the founding fathers had in mind, I don't think.
No, I would agree.
So, I'm going to do this story. I think you've got it as well, and you mentioned it on the Twitter feed. Was computers show wind could have parted the Red Sea?
Yep.
Now, there's just so much wrong with this. This is just fractally wrong. It's wrong on every level because
it's science, John.
I don't know. I don't think it. Well, it doesn't even fit the word science because it might have been done by somebody who claimed to be a scientist, or I know he's probably a important guy. Obviously, he had his beliefs, and he thought he would, do a bit of science related to them.
But, the guy works for the National Center for Atmospheric Research and the University of Colorado. So,
I think this is kind of like sitting down and thinking about, what the fairies like for breakfast. You've got to, first of all, the Exodus story, okay? Now, depending on what school of scholarly theology you subscribe to, I believe the first four books were meant to be originally the same story but told four different ways.
Well, no, not really. Cause you've got the first five books. Yeah? You've got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
Genesis and Exodus. So Genesis obviously is the story of the creation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the creation of man and, the development in those early years. Exodus is the story of the Hebrews being taken out of, as the name would imply, Exodus, being taken out of Egypt by Moses and led back to the Promised Land, to the Holy Land. Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy are more law books. So they're not actual storybooks.
Yeah, no, sorry, I think that we're talking about the texts before they were canonized. Apparently, that all of the sources, originally, they were all trying to represent the same thing. Because in Exodus, there is a kind of very truncated version of the creation story at the beginning.
Oh, right, okay, so you're saying then, okay, yeah, okay, fine.
And they've obviously been edited. And
yeah,
all
sorry,
all.
I thought you would end the impression no, all they're not storybooks, but no, they're not, they were.
No. So, so it's got that, okay? Now, the problem with the Exodus story, and unfortunately, the Israeli archaeologists have had to just agree on this one, is, it doesn't seem like it actually happened as it's described in the Bible, which, because apparently there was over 600,000 slaves.
Right.
Which got up and left Egypt. That would be noticeable in history, because for a start, the Egyptians, it was an awesome civilization. They were meticulous.
Very, very advanced.
Yeah, they were meticulous in their records keeping. And they kept records of everything from, the number of trees they cut down and, how many slaves were sold, who they were sold to and all this. But for some reason, they neglected to mention that over 500,000 of them that up sticks and left and they chased after them and ended up getting bogged down. I just can't believe it never got a mention. So, and there's, the archaeologists are going, look, there's just nothing to back this up. So, first of all, I think before you start trying to look for, a possibility, you need to establish whether, it actually did happen in the first place.
I think, I don't know anything about the actual history or archaeology of the Exodus.
Hmm. Well, I did some research because of the story.
Other than the story which is presented in the Bible. So, I'm quite happy to say that, some of the stuff in the Bible is probably allegory as opposed to being historical fact. So that's not kind of the angle I'm coming from this, because I don't know what position the researchers who've looked into this are actually coming from. Are they coming from it from the point of view of we're Christians or Jews and we want to prove that this event feasibly could happen?
Mm.
Or were they some scientists sat around who were a bit bored one day, going, well, what can we do? What can we do? How about this? Parting of the Red Sea, can we prove that this actually happened? Because I think that's where you need to know is what was their starting point? What was their focus? Did they have an agenda to prove that the Red Sea could have parted, or were they just purely doing some scientific research because they wanted to know the answer to actually, could it happen?
But what I'm saying is, if you're a scientist, obviously you're interested in, the facts and reality.
Yeah, yeah,
so
absolutely.
Why would you?
But don't you think that would be a really good thing to know? Is it possible? Personally, I'd love to know that. As in, is it possible as a natural event? Because bear in mind, these are people who deal with climate and atmospheric conditions. This is kind of their world. This is what they're looking at. And I mean, as a from a scientific point of view, I would love to know if this was actually possible.
Well, I mean, they're saying the computers say that apparently it is possible.
But you look a bit skeptical about it.
Well, yeah,
And
because it's just,
I
it's
take
only
it that
one.
you're approaching this, but you seem to be approaching the story from a point of view of skeptic.
Well, I am skeptical of everything.
Yeah.
But, because I think that's the natural position you have to take. But what I'm saying is why go to the lengths of showing that something's possible? Or, you know. Well, for a start, okay, for a
Because there may
start.
be benefits for knowing it.
Okay.
There may be benefits for knowing whether this happens or not.
Okay.
I mean, come on, there's been a lot of things which have been developed, or a lot of things which have been researched. And you just think, well, why? What's the point of researching it? But there's been, it's been researched because actually somebody's interested in it, and that's just because it's got a starting point in something which may or may not have been fact, doesn't make the research any less valid if it's been proven to be fact, or if it's been proven not to be fact.
Well, sorry, I didn't want to. I wasn't actually interested in necessarily the motives of the people who were doing the research. I was actually interested in what is the point of it in a general sense, in so much that. So, okay, so let's say that they demonstrated to a high degree that it could happen, okay? I don't see. I can't really see how, Jews and Christians are going to be jumping up and down, going, "Yes, we were right," because doesn't it just completely take the miracle out of the whole thing anyway?
But I mean, I'm a Christian. I'm not jumping up going,
No,
yeah, great. But my point
exactly.
is that actually, I'm just really interested to know, could this actually happen? In reality, is there a way this could actually happen? And I think that's interesting. We need to understand what this starting point is, because if they've gone in, because for me, it kind of invalidates it somewhat. If they go in and they've got an agenda
Yeah,
of
sure.
saying, well, we're Christians, we're Jews, we want to prove
Sure.
that this event happened, well, then they've gone in with an agenda, they've gone in to make that happen. And you can pretty much manipulate results to show whatever you want has happened, if you work at it long enough. But if they've gone into it with an open scientific mind and gone, well, actually, I'm quite interested to know if this actually happened, then I think that kind of adds a bit more value to the research. Because I mean, I don't know what the benefits could be of knowing it, but I mean, it may help something like, where we've got Pakistan now and Bangladesh and these areas, which are on low-lying floodplains, and monsoon season, they get flooded out. Maybe this sort of research could actually help prevent those sort of floods happening. I don't know how. I'm not a scientist. I'm not a, climatologist. But maybe there's something there which they could learn from these findings, which could help those people. So I wouldn't say it's invalid research.
I didn't say it was invalid, I said it's
No.
pointless.
Yeah,
As
well,
in so much that,
it's pointless if you're trying to prove the Red Sea could have been parted, but what is the end game? What was the point of the research? What are they trying to achieve?
Well, I think
All
they.
they've basically all that's happened is that they've said, actually, yeah, if the right conditions are there, the Red Sea could have parted or whatever could have parted. I think it's interesting to know what their starting point was and what it is they were actually trying to achieve
Well, and I also
from
think
the
that
story.
even within, just looking at it from the point of view of, the biblical account, it was all meant to have been a translation error in the first place. It was meant to be the Reed Sea. So, what is this, people who, believe the King James Version thinking we want to, it was the Red Sea, damn it, and it was literally true and it did happen. But if it, those to those people, because there are some people who are going to be seeing. Gonna, gonna say, ah, oh, see, science backs up the Bible or something like that. There will be those. I'm not saying the researchers, but I'm just saying you can't really celebrate it because it's, in other words, that they've said, oh, it could have happened due to natural causes. So I'm just saying that kind of ruins it.
I don't know,
I would have wanted it, scientists to say, nah, there's no way it could happen
but
in
no, I see
nature.
it even from The point is, I don't want to come across as some kind of biblical literalist here or anything like that.
No, I know you're not, but.
But I think, even from the point of view, that actually, if that was their goal and it's proven beyond doubt that actually, yes, that's what's happened and it could happen, then it's still, for me, quite a miraculous set of circumstances for the winds have been blowing at 63 miles per hour for 12 hours in order to push it back. Yeah, that's still quite a miraculous happening.
But what I mean is, I'm talking about miracle in the pure sense of it. You know, when you say, "Oh, that's miraculous," and we use it in
as a miracle, I would still see, personally, I would still see that as a miracle, because it may be scientific, it may be able to happen, but actually, the circumstances for it to happen is quite.
Well, Steve, the only problem I got with that is I know where you're coming from. I know what the point you're trying to make is. But I think what you're doing, okay, is you're taking a word that actually has a very specific meaning and you're changing the meaning of it. Because miracle is a suspension of the natural order. That is the definition of a miracle.
Okay.
And this is what, when philosophers talk about it, and David Hume in particular was talking about what a miracle is, that he's saying, you know, the suspension of the natural order, that's a miracle. Anything else is a coincidence, because if you say that's miraculous just because you're incredulous, you can't believe that it's happened, then there's no way to tell the difference between a miracle and coincidence.
Yeah.
A miracle is meant to be, you know, revelation, as you would put it. So, but yeah, as you said, you know, it's interesting. I would be interested in see if they could say they could recreate the conditions.
I'd love to see Mythbusters go out and make this happen.
Yeah, with a big wind turbine. Right, we'll just sit here for 12 hours.
Right, crank it up to 63 miles an hour. There we go.
So, right, but if they did manage to part it, would you run through it?
I don't know. I'd be a bit nervous, to be
honest.
You'd
be tripping over fish and stuff.
Slip in, slide in, puddles. I don't know.
Okay, I got one more story. Unless you got, do you want to do something?
No, mate, you carry on.
I got something. Okay, now this is kind. No, I'll tell you what. I'll read it first, and then I want your opinion on it, and then we may discuss it. If you don't walk out the room in disgust,
I'll try not to. But I just think there is another story which I'd like to discuss after this, even if we are a bit pushed for time, which is the Twitter joke trial.
Okay.
Unless you want to leave that for another week.
No, that's quite current. We will do it. You know, we can just edit something out. Okay. Here's the headline. Muslim girl prefers jeans to burqa, gets death threats in return. Okay?
Okay.
Now, so just...
Was this in the Daily Mail?
The story I've got isn't from the Daily Mail, it's from the Digital Journal. I don't know, it may have been. I can't say it wasn't. I can't pronounce half these name places, unfortunately. This young girl, she's obviously wanted to do well for herself. She's, you know, got educated. To do so, she's gone to the local city, Chennai City.
So where is this actually taking place, this story? Is it in India,
Chennai? Kasaragod, yeah, India. Obviously, it's a predominantly Muslim part of the country.
Okay.
So what happens is, obviously, she goes away to the big city. You know, obviously, they're a bit more liberal there. You know, so she dons, you know, jeans and a T-shirt. And she decides, well, I like this. I don't think I'm going to stick the burqa back on. Problem is, she comes home. Initially, there were some polite pleas from her relatives to don the traditional Muslim attire. Then the neighbours started advising me, this is her words now, then my neighbours started advising me, and since then they had anonymous phone callers to my mobile telling me they will have no choice but to kill me because I continue to defy the burqa. First of all, her mother and her sisters, you know, they back her up.
Fair play to them for doing this.
Obviously... By doing this, you know, she's putting herself in a bit of danger. And obviously her family, are in danger as well. Because, you know, they're not really denouncing it. They're saying, well, you know, she should be able to do it. So she's having these death threats. That's the story, basically. is girl decides I don't want to wear my burqa, I'm happy in these other clothes, and there's people upset by it. So what are your thoughts?
I don't know. I think we've kind of discussed burqas and Muslim dress before, and I just think there's nothing in the Quran which says you have to wear a burqa. There's nothing in Islam which says you have to wear a burqa. This is just, ultra traditionalists are saying this is what has to be done, this is what has to be worn. And if the girl does decide she doesn't want to wear it, good for her. Good on her.
Yeah, and the reason why I brought this story, I saw it anyway. I didn't, go hunting for it or anything, but I did see it. It's just I thought that there was a parallel between this and between the story that we got we got quite
Well,
heated
I could
about.
see this is exactly what you were trying to set up
Yeah.
in what you said earlier about the is we going to go along the line causing harm to others?
So and I don't want to we made our and I'll plug the blog at this point, stabler.tv, go check it out, because both of our feelings are on there in depth on the
Absolutely.
whole burning of the Quran thing. So I didn't want to rehash that, but I just wanted you to tell me that what you see is different in this, in so much that because she doesn't want to wear the burqa, okay? The people have
No.
told her if she doesn't wear it, they're going to get angry. They're offended. They are offended. There's
Yeah.
no doubt they're offended. Okay, and they're not just going to attack her. Her family's in danger,
Yeah.
and not just that. Okay, she is aware of the fact that if she does not wear the burqa, there will be repercussions. So, just putting that into context for you, why? What makes this story? Because you've gone the other way on this one. I'm just wondering what makes this different. Because it's both freedom of
Yeah.
expression as well. So I was just wondering what makes it different for you.
It's a difficult one, because it is different.
Well, I mean, it's different place, different people, but I think
Yeah,
it's a.
no, but I think even the, and you kind of put me on the spot because I've got to try and come up with an answer here now of why it's different.
You can have a think about it if you want.
Other than just saying it's different because it is,
No, I
which
know.
really
I mean,
isn't
obviously, if it's.
satisfactory. I'm trying to just think of a way of saying this now which will actually come out correctly rather than make me sound like an idiot.
No, sorry. I mean, I'm not
But I mean,
expecting you.
basically, what reason why I think it's different is because she was being oppressed when she was wearing the burqa. She went away and realised that she was being oppressed by being forced to wear a burqa. And so she's chosen not to be oppressed. The pastor in America is not being oppressed by the Quran and is not being oppressed by Muslims.
Well, no, I well, that's where I
And that's where I
think.
think the difference is she's he was being deliberately provocative to spark off a response.
No, hang on, sorry. I agree that they're both this, and this is why I drew
And
the
that's why
parallel.
I say it's different, because she's fighting oppression, and you would agree with me on this, I'm sure, oppression needs to be fought.
Yeah, exactly.
And I commend her for taking a stand when there's such an obvious risk to herself, and I commend her family for supporting her when there's an obvious risk to them
Okay.
as well.
All right. Okay, well, and just to, draw the parallel again, I'm just saying that although we the thing is we, we feel sympathy for her, whereas we thought the other guy was a dick. The difference was, I think, although you see it as a physical oppression with her, with him, I can't see how censored and no freedom of speech is not
Yeah, you
oppression.
see, I this is where we differ on the pastor. I don't see it as an issue of censorship.
Well, if you
You
can't
see, I
talk
mean, no,
about something, I don't know what it is.
I just, I'm not going to get all into this argument
Okay,
again at all
yeah, I
because
didn't want to rehash it
we've
anyway.
done it all the way through.
Right.
I just say now, I do not see what he went through as censorship. What I see with her and what she's going through is oppression.
Okay, fine.
And I think
But you
that's
can
the difference.
see, do you now see where I'm coming from?
And I understood where you were coming from before, but
Yeah.
in the case of him, I disagree with you.
Okay, that's fine. I just thought I'd bring it up because it might make my position a bit clearer, in so much that for me, oppression is oppression, whether it's physical oppression, having to do something you don't want to do, or not being
Yeah,
able to say what you want to
but
say. I just.
but that is the key. That's
And
the
that's what I.
difference.
That's the. That's what I
Yeah,
just wanted
is that you
to.
see? You see him as
I.
being oppressed. I don't see him as being oppressed.
I just.
Because for me, I don't even want to go here. I'm not going to say it. I'm going to stop.
I know,
I'm
I
just
know.
not.
I
I'm
just wanted
just
to
not going
see
to do
where
it.
you. I just wanted to know where the difference in the stories was, because I think that it started off we had loads of sticking points, and but now it's just clarified it that bit much more. And I'd just be interested, maybe people on the blog as well might have.
I won't chip in, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So that's, I like that story anyway. Well, I didn't like the poor girl having to bloody wear a burqa when she discovered jeans.
Yeah.
You know?
Fair play to her, you know.
Power to the women. So, right, let's do the. Hey, we're going to finish on a fun story. Well, a ranty story that we can both rant about at
Yeah.
least. Do you want to give us the lowdown on this one while I have this a drink of wine?
So basically, the final story for us tonight is the story of the Twitter joke gone horribly wrong for some poor guy,
Yeah.
and just the Orwellian state that we're living in, that is just,
You about to defend free speech, Steve?
which is just gone, just absolutely insane.
All right, you'll have to give
So the
people a
basic
rundown
story
because, yeah.
is, we've got this guy, Paul Chambers. Paul Chambers met a girl on the internet who lived in Belfast. And as these things happen, they got on well on the internet and they decided to meet up. I think they might have met up a couple of times beforehand. But anyway, they were going to meet up again, and this guy was going to fly from Robin Hood Airport in
Yeah.
Nottinghamshire probably, over to Belfast.
Oh, I bet he was really looking forward to that.
Absolutely. You know, it happened to be that he was flying out at the heart of winter last year when we had all the snow blocking up runways, airports across the country, and he was grounded.
Oh, that would really grind my gears.
That would grind my gears as well. So the poor guy can't go and see the girl who
His
he
new
wants to
love.
get into a relationship with, you know, his new love, because of the snow. So as a joke, on Twitter, he's written, "Crap, Robin Hood Airport is closed. You've got a week, otherwise I'm blowing the airport sky high." Now you see, you're laughing there, because actually, all this guy's done is just vented a little bit of frustration
Yeah.
through his Twitter account to his mates, to his friends who are following him on Twitter. Some bureaucratic dick somewhere along the line has picked up on this tweet and has called the police to say there's a bomb threat against Robin Hood
So
Airport.
hang on a second, right? So is this guy is he famous? Did thousands of people see this tweet? How did this get
This is
picked
just a
up?
normal guy. This is just a normal guy. Just average Joe. You know, I don't know. He's probably got 30 followers on Twitter or
Oh, it's more
something.
than me, the bastard.
Yeah. You know, we're not talking about somebody here, you know, like Stephen Fry, who's got a cast of millions
Yeah.
following him. We're talking about average Joe, who has literally put out a tweet there going, "Why I order, damn you," sort of thing, you know? I mean, you know, how many times have we said to our friends, be it online, in real life, whatever, "Oh, I'd love to kill him."
Yeah,
Yeah?
the amount of times I've
As an
said stuff like,
expression.
"Oh, if this happens again, I'm going to go postal," you
Yeah,
know.
I'm gonna go and shoot someone. Yeah? Do you have any intention of actually going postal? Of actually picking up a gun and going to shoot someone?
No.
No. Just like I'm sure Paul Chambers had absolutely no intention of physically going to go and blow up Robin Hood Airport. For starters, he couldn't get there because he was snowed in anyway.
They should have said there's a potential bomb threat.
I
You
mean,
need to follow him.
don't you think you've seen the footsteps walking away? You know, I just, this winds me up. This does wind me up because, you know, this poor guy has had his life absolutely ruined by some bureaucratic knobhead.
So yeah, so I believe he's been to court.
He's been to court, and as a result of this, I mean, right, I'll give you my perspective first of all, before we go any further. Common sense should have said, he's written this, it's a joke. Okay, maybe it's bad taste. That doesn't make it illegal. If the police have got involved and they've gone and tested it to see if it is a genuine bomb threat or not, they've rocked up at his house, seen that it's not, they should have just gone, sorry mate, you've been a knob, don't do it again, but away with you, you rapscallion, you. Yeah? No. This guy has been then taken to the police station, taken to his car, where they asked him, have you got any weapons in the car at all? To which he replied, only my golf clubs.
I see he's got a sense of humour.
Right? Which didn't go down too well. So then he gets taken then to the police station. He gets hauled across the coals. The CPS get involved. And it's the CPS show with the knobheads. Because the police didn't press charges. It's come from the CPS.
Yeah, who aren't meant to prosecute unless it's in the public interest, yeah, I believe.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, he's been taken to court. He's been found guilty of this really obscure part of the 2003 Communications Act, which makes it an offence to send, in inverted commas, a menacing message over public telecommunications network. Hmm. Yeah. That's what he's been found guilty of. Yeah. He's, as a result, then lost his job and has been fined £1,000 court costs for the defence, for the prosecution.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure, actually, it probably cost him a lot more than £1,000 to bring this to trial.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah? Yeah. So, that's mine and your money that they're wasting, right? So, this guy, he's gone, he's left the country behind, he's gone to live in Belfast with his new love.
Hmm.
He's gone, he's got a new job, he's started over again. However, I think he's appealed it, basically.
Yeah, he is appealing it.
He appealed it. And absolutely fair play to the guy. He should do, yeah? His appeal is being heard tomorrow, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
However, his employers, because they've heard that this guy who works for them is now going to be in a news report associated with the word bomb and airport, they fired him as well. So as a result of this, this guy has lost two jobs, has a criminal record.
Unless his appeal turns out.
Unless his appeal goes his way.
And the cops have probably got his DNA as well.
Absolutely, this is just absolutely ridiculous. You said the CPS should prosecute only in
Public interest.
Where is the public interest in this story? I tell you, seriously, right? If I won the lottery tomorrow night, I would pay this guy's court costs. I would give him the £1,000. Because this is just a travesty. It's an absolute waste of public money. It's an absolute waste of time. And they've ruined some poor guy's life.
For doing something which I think everybody does, to be fair.
Yeah.
The only difference is he did it on Twitter. You know.
Yeah, but if you go on Twitter now, I'm sure you're going to see things on there.
Well,
on
they
Facebook,
have, because
you know?
There's a trending topic, isn't there? The, you know, the joke trial.
Yeah.
And on that topic that people are posting today, if this guy gets convicted, I'm going to blow stuff up.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, but even taking that aside, because obviously, you know, people have got an agenda there, they know what's going on. You go on Facebook tonight, yeah, and, you know, you look at some of your mates' statuses, there's stuff on there all the time, like, oh, you know, I'm going to kill someone if such and such happens, if such and such doesn't happen. Well, we haven't got enough prisons to lock all these hardened criminals up in.
Yeah, and I think that's why a lot of people were making similar comments in response to it, saying, well, if you know, lock us all up, see what happens then.
Yeah.
You know, and that is, surely that is the definition of an absurd conviction. You're convicting someone for something that everybody does.
The fact that he's been convicted of it in the first place is absurd. The fact that this has now had to go to an appeals court, and if his appeal is turned down, it just takes it to a whole new level of absurdity.
The only thing that I can hope for is that he's found not guilty, right? And then, hopefully, he can somehow claim some kind of compensation.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think he deserves it. Unfortunately, with the taxpayer footing the bill for it.
But as I said, I would happily foot that bill, John. I'd happily see him get 100, 200 grand, whatever, from the taxpayer as a result of this absolute farce. And what I would love to see is that whichever knobhead in the CPS has pushed this along actually gets brought up wasting public funds or something like that loses their job, gets banged up, I really don't care, to be honest with you, because those type of idiots shouldn't be in the position in which they're in, that they can do this to ruin, effectively, an innocent man's life.
Yeah. And I hope he can, as I said, I want him to do well out of this, but if he's lost his job, you know, then I want us to make sure this guy, you know, comes out of this well. For a start, he won't have his criminal record either. You know, I mean, that's a pain in the ass enough, having a criminal record, getting a job. You know, I'm surprised he managed to get a job in Belfast, somewhere where they're usually quite, you know, they don't like people with a bombing record.
That's obviously the reason why the council in Belfast got rid of him, because the word bomb was in there. Because, you know, Northern Ireland isn't exactly, you know, renowned historically as being the most safest non-bomb-free place in the country. Do you know what I mean?
Non-bomb-free? How many double negatives do you want in there?
I don't know. I'm wound up. What can I say? You know,
I tell you what, it was definitely your turn for a rant this week.
It's really ground my gears.
Brilliant. Well, no, we both think that that's an absolute travesty. So, okay, leave us some comments, people. Tell us what you think. Especially, I should start a poll. Who do you agree with on the burning of the Quran thing? The thing is, I know that I'd probably win that one just simply because I know so many people that would probably like to burn the Quran.
Exactly. You can get your mates to vote, you know. But, you know, if we look at what's already on the blog, I'm winning that one.
Really?
Ian agreed with me.
Yeah, but then again, he agreed with me on the Dawkins thing, so that's one each.
Yeah, well, no.
Is he the adjudicator now?
Each individual case.
We'll see.
So, you know,
I think a poll.
He's ruled in my favour on that one.
I think a poll is the only scientific way to
decide.
No,
it's not, because you'll get your mates and all those idiots out there in the world who think the Quran should be burnt will be there. Yes, he's quite right to burn it.
No, I wouldn't frame the poll that way.
You'll give your mate Nick Griffin a call and get him to come on and start voting.
Oh, Nick, have you heard? No, it's just because I've downloaded this new poll widget. And,
do you want to put it to the test, yeah?
Well, first of all, we need it to find out on the theme tune thing. But, you know, I think from now on, if we have it, we won't use it for this debate then. But if there's ever a future disagreement...
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, just so...
No, I'm cool with that.
Because I think it's more it's interactive and people are willing to come to the website just to register a vote. They might not be willing to register a comment.
So. Yeah.
So we'll do that. Anyway.
Oh, just before we go, though, sorry. Yeah. I am going to... Because we always ask people to comment. And we've had some comments this week. So I just want to mention... thank you to Carwin for giving us some suggestions for topics tonight. Unfortunately, because we did such a jam-packed show, if that's the right word. We've not been able to include
them. Well, what did he want to
talk about? He wanted to talk about the situation of Commonwealth Games in Delhi.
Yeah, there's just so much going on this week, isn't there?
Exactly. And then the other one was a bit celebrity for us. Was the Chris Moyle story.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. We're not doing that one.
I tell you what, we probably
will still pick up on the Commonwealth Games next week.
This is ongoing. So thanks, Carwin, for bringing those stories to our attention. If you have got any ideas for stories, contact us via the Twitter feed, which is @thinkrant, or on stabler.tv, the blog.
Excellent. So, hey, you're getting good at these announcements. Maybe you should start doing the intro from now on. Anyway, tonight was enjoyable, so I hope everyone else thinks so too. And we'll catch up with you next week.